I mean, every drawer, every closet, my camera's gone, lights.
Computer, petty cash. Oh,
both, two laptops.
Shotgun.
Petty cash, yeah. Probably about 45 minutes in, it's like the weight of everything is kind of hitting me. And I realized that I don't have insurance. I said, well, we need to pray as a family because it was, you know, it was stressful. And my 16-year-old, the first thing he says is, Dad, I feel like it's going to be okay. God's going to do something amazing through this.
I'm Adira Polite, and this is Then God Moved. Hello, you guys are in for a massive treat. This episode features my friends, confidants, mentors, really, Brooke and Adam Fish. They are a Dallas-based couple and the hosts of the Unseen Story podcast. I like to describe that show as the better version of this. They reject that, whatever. They tell amazing stories and they tell them very, very well. Anyway, Brooke and Adam are here today to talk about a home invasion that they suffered over the summer and how God actually used that tragedy to transform their lives and the lives of pretty much everyone around them. So, when they told me what was going on, I said, you must come on. So they're here, and let's get into it.
So, Adam's favorite cousin, which you shouldn't have favorites, but his favorite cousin was getting married in Iowa. We wanted to be there, obviously. So we made just a family vacation out of it and said, okay, we're going to just go out of town for the week. And
the two of you and your kids were all going to go to Iowa. Okay.
Yeah. So the four of us go to Iowa and the plan is we're going to go to the wedding, hang out for a little bit. And then on the way back home, we're going to stop in Kansas City, see a dear friend, stay the night, and then go to Worlds of Fun the next day.
Roller coasters.
Yeah.
So this is July 22nd. Mm-hmm. This is when we leave. We come back on July 28th. We pull up to the house on the 28th, open up the garage, and my car's gone. Our bikes are gone. My tools are gone.
So our oldest and I, Jude and I, went through the front door and I was looking around at the mudroom and I was like, oh my gosh, the boys left this place in a hot mess. What in the world? And then I opened the garage door and I noticed that things are kind of strewn about there. And then I look at the wall and I'm not really paying attention to the fact that Adam's car is gone, but I see that all the bikes are gone. And I pointed to the bikes and I was like, Adam, I think we've been robbed. Our bikes are gone. And he was like, where's my car?
So my neighbor was pulling in at that same time. And I was like, hey man, I think we just got robbed. And cause I knew he had a camera. Mm. So he has a camera that runs 24/7 and it's on a little SD card and he wipes it every 7 days. So we caught him on like the sixth or the seventh day. And I'll come back to that later. So then we go through the house and I mean, every drawer, every closet, cameras, my camera's gone, lights, lots of stuff.
Computer, petty cash.
Oh, both, two laptops.
Shotgun.
Petty cash, yeah. And I realized like probably about 45 minutes in, it's like the weight of everything is kind of hitting me. And I realized that I don't have insurance. My policy ran out on the 6th of July. There was some grace period there till the 25th, but we're back on the 28th. Come to find out we were robbed on the 22nd, but it didn't help. So I know that I have to confess to Brooke that we have no insurance.
I didn't know.
And I've never, 15 years of home ownership, I've never been without home.
And not only that, but we didn't have any auto insurance either. They're bundled. Yeah.
We don't need to.
So you had no insurance on anything that was stolen. No.
Correct. We don't have insurance. And I know this.
Okay. I do not know this.
So that's in the back of my mind. But the first thing I did, I said, well, we need to pray as a family just because it was, you know, it was stressful. We prayed and I just prayed, God, we need your help to guide us through this. Mm-hmm. Like, and my 16-year-old, he says, the first thing he says is, Dad, I feel like it's going to be okay. God's going to do something amazing through this.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, same kid on the way home, He was like, guys, yesterday was so much fun. I had a blast, but I just feel like something's off with this trip. Something's not right.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
The discernment of your children. I mean, it's not surprising because y'all are like very discerning, and I guess.
Wow. It surprises you when your kids say something kind of profound and then it actually happens. It's, you're like.
Mm-hmm. He said that there would be several God stories that were going to come out of it. Mm-hmm. And he's a normal 16-year-old. He, you know, like if you think of a 16-year-old, that's.
Yeah, he's not reading his Bible every
he's
day.
He's not like super spiritual at all.
No.
But we do Bible studies every week. And so we are intentional about that. Mm-hmm. So so we pray that happens, call the police. We wrestle through it. We had a couple people reach out to us and say, hey, we want to start a GoFundMe. And so that night we're kind of. You go through every emotion. You're upset. You're frustrated. You know, car drives by. You think, oh, do they have something to do with this? You know, like, and we felt very safe in our home. We've been here for 9 years. I had an alarm for the first 3 years and then I let it go because we never used it. We just got comfortable here. So then we realized people are writing hot checks. So they took a checkbook and so checks start coming through. So we're talking to the bank. And so all the emotions next day, we're like, oh, and then I told Brooke, I was like, babe, I got something to tell you. We don't have insurance. I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? And she was very upset. But
like kind of calm for me.
She
said, give me some credit. I handled that pretty well.
Yeah, I feel good. I think she did. She's pretty emotional, fiery, and that could have driven a wedge. I think that's how the enemy gets in, is like, how could you? And then all of a sudden you're fighting. You know, mm-hmm. like not only are you dealing with the trauma of the robbery and the loss of the stuff, but you're now fighting as a husband and wife. And that just, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So then the next day, you know, people.
Wait, sorry. Brooke, I want to hear, what did you experience when he told you? Like, did you feel like there was something supernatural going on and like you were just able to be at peace about it? Like, why did you not freak out?
Well, I think I was gutted, honestly. I was like, I know him, right? We've been together for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So I know him. I mean, I do remember you saying, I do think it was supernatural. And I remember him saying, hey, we can't let the enemy drive a wedge. We need to be together in this. I understand you're upset and you have every right to be upset. And I know that this is hard. And so I think all the tools that we've learned through, you know, 14 years of serving in marriage ministry leadership, we put those tools to work. And it was a matter of knowing what I know about him and letting that speak louder than my circumstances.
That's good.
And trusting him and knowing that he's going through the same thing I'm going through, but maybe possibly worse because he feels like the loss is greater now and it's his fault. So, I mean, I spent a lot of years early in our marriage beating him up and like verbally, you know, like not intentionally, but a lot of years kind of beating him up verbally, and he beats himself up enough. So I didn't need to add to that. I needed to love them, you know?
Wow. That is beautiful and convicting. We love that.
Okay. I do. I mean, so all of that, yeah, probably supernatural.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow. I mean, it's wisdom. Wisdom is what it came down to, it sounds like. But
yeah. Just years of prayer. I mean, so see, there's the deal. It's like the Lord teaches you over and over and over and over and over again until those things, being able to do those things and follow him rather than your flesh, becomes like breathing when you have to practice them so much. And you have to practice them in marriage. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. So yeah. Tell her.
Yeah. So then the next day, we go to the bank, shut all our accounts. Then we, you know, those friends that were asking about the GoFundMe, can we do something? We're like, well, okay. Yeah. We need some help. And, cause it's probably 20, $30,000 worth of overall. And so, and we're in ministry. So
that's a lot of money. Yes.
It's a fair amount. And, And so my laptop, I had like 5 episodes, like cut episodes on there. So I knew I had 2 weeks worth of work basically was gone. And we say yes to those friends. One of our friends, Amanda, posted on Facebook about what had happened. And then we did a video just asking for encouragement, basically, just telling people, hey, we could, if you've been impacted by our ministry, we'd love for you to reach out and leave us a message. And if you've ever thought about donating, now would be a great time to pray about that. And we'd appreciate that as well. But we were really looking for more encouragement because it was a setback from work perspective, and then just dealing with all the issues that we were dealing with. With the robbery, we just would have love for people to encourage us. So that was a Thursday. I would say by Saturday, we had enough to cover everything. We probably had 60 people donate. Wow. And in a matter of 5 days, we had probably 80 to 90 people donate. People bought us, dinners. They had a friend get us a brand new laptop.
Strangers that we've never even met bought us a laptop.
Friend of hers, they're not great friends, but they're supportive. They're just great people. Yeah. They support us. They love us. They came over with a check,
very large check.
I mean, it was
humbling.
It was humbling. It was incredibly encouraging. Plus all the people that reached out to pray for us.
Hold that thought.
Our oldest is home.
Got it. I have a question. When you say, people always say this thing happened to me, usually like a pretty bad thing or a really good thing, and it was humbling. And that's what you said. Like, what do you actually mean by that?
So I put a lot of pressure on myself to, figure things out. I'm a 5 on the Enneagram. I process a lot and research. And so I have failed. I felt like a failure. I had failed. I didn't have insurance. So I totally botched this thing. And you have to own that, admit that. And you don't really want to tell people that. Mm-hmm. Because people are like, oh, how is the insurance? And that's the second question. It's like, well,
at least you've got insurance. We're like,
I didn't have any, but it's so freeing to admit that you failed and see God show up despite your failure. It just validates your faith. It validates the work of ministry. Ministry is hard to quantify. And to see that many people reach out beyond the people that donated. Hundreds of people, I would say, reached out in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. And that was, humbling is a great word for it. It's just sort of like, wow, because you doubt, you tend to doubt, and it's like, God's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a tangible expression of an invisible God, right? Like, I don't know, this sounds weird, but whenever I see a homeless person, right, I'll pray. Every time I see a homeless person and I pray for them, Lord, let them know that they are seen. Let them know that they are loved, and make a way, Father, provide for them. And every time I say provide for them, he's like, my people provide for them. You're my people.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be the helper. I like to be the one that provides encouragement, that provides money. I like to give to others. And I don't want to be the taker. I don't want to be the one in need. And that is humbling. And so we saw God's people, like the body of Christ, provided for us. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy and beautiful and humbling.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who loves to give instead of receive. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to receive. And I think that is one of the things that I ended up talking to a lot of friends about how hard it is to receive and why it's so hard for us to receive.
Do you think is it pride? What is it?
I think it
self-sufficiency.
I don't think we like to be needy, but we are needy people and it's rigged that way. He wants us to be needy. We're supposed to need him And we're supposed to need community.
Yeah.
Love God, love others. Mm-hmm. Need him, need community.
I think sometimes our just the American culture, mm-hmm. the pull yourself up by your bootstraps, the even in Christianity, it leaks into Christianity, and a mature Christian is one that has all the answers, and you help other people. You don't necessarily need help, and I think that's just a trap. I think we're built for community. We're built for a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with each other. And
so that's Saturday.
So then Sunday, mm-hmm. it wasn't that first Sunday.
It was indeed.
So it happens on the Wednesday, then on Sunday, I might get emotional about this one. So we go to a church that's in downtown Dallas. Because of the overcrowding in our downtown location, we thought we'll check out the Frisco location, which is a lot farther drive. And so we go up there first and only time thus far. We go up there, we're going through worship, and there's a guy in front of us, and his phone keeps its face up. And it keeps blowing up. And after like the fourth and fifth time, I look down and it says a name. And then it says my son and family with an exclamation point. So in the context, it was the name of his son, my son and family. And it just keeps scrolling across. So we're in the middle of worship. And I was just thinking, and this guy kept calling and calling.
Which P.S. our worship is an hour long and then our teaching is an hour long. So we're in worship, feeling it.
So I was just thinking like, wow, it's kind of interesting why it would say my son and family and exclamation point and how it's good to be in God's family. And, you know, sometimes we have to call him multiple times. It's like, is he there? Where is he? Why is he not answering? And I'm just kind of like, I don't know, just that's sort of floating around. But then I look down another time and it says like 6 missed calls and 5 texts. So I was like, if he calls again, I'm going to let him know. I just didn't want to interrupt him. So he calls again and I just tap on the guy's shoulder and I said, hey, I think that might be your son trying to get a hold of you. And he's like, oh, thanks. And he leans over, talks to his wife and she steps out. Uh-huh. So we go through worship. Then it's the meet and greet time in between. And she comes back in, the wife comes back in, and I just overhear her saying that the son had his wallet stolen and he's headed off to college. He was really freaked out. And that's why he was calling. And then we had somebody else come over who we know that, so I didn't get many details. So then the sermon starts and he's talking about the pastor is telling these different stories about words of knowledge that he's gotten and the gifts. He shares one story where in college, I believe they went out on they call them a treasure hunt where you look for people and you ask Holy Spirit to give you insights and help you and just basically praying for people. So they felt like they were led to a grocery store. They're in one of the aisles and he feels his heart sort of flutter a little bit. Instead of thinking he's having a heart attack or it's anxiety, he thinks, well, that must be from the Lord. And then right about that time, a woman comes down the aisle. And so he's like, okay, I'm going to go talk to her. And he says, introduces himself. Hey, we're just out praying for people. And oh, by the way, do you happen to have any heart problems? And the eyes lady, she gets really big. And she's
the eyes lady.
The eyes of this lady.
I got a little excited there. trying to make the story short for you. So her eyes get really big and she's like, oh my gosh, yes. And I don't know what her condition was, something. And he's like, well, I just believe the Lord led me to you. And, my heart fluttered when you walked down and can I pray for you? And so he closes his eyes and he's going to pray for her. And she takes off running.
She bolts.
She bolts.
This guy's crazy. I'm out.
Yeah, I think it freaked her out. So not the story ending that you want to hear, but that was just an illustration about, stepping out in faith and just other stories he had about physical healing. He had a lot of really cool stories, testimonies about pretty radical healings that he had seen. So in the middle of all that, I'm processing, this call, son's wallet stolen, And is that coincidence? Is it coincidence that his heart fluttered and some woman walks down the aisle and she does indeed have heart problems? Is it coincidence that we're the first time ever in Frisco at this campus, all of our stuff has been stolen? We've seen God provide. And here we just happen to be standing. Is that behind this guy? So I just, in the middle of the sermon, I'm like, oh, this is the Lord. And wait till the end of the service. And I said, hey, excuse me. I just want to tell you guys a story real quick. So I told him everything that happened to us. And I said, I think I want to call your son and tell him and restore back to him what was stolen. Mom is crying. The dad's crying. The dad said, before you said anything, I was going to ask if we could all pray for my son. He said that COVID had been really hard on him and he almost took his life. He was feeling very isolated and he was even questioning his faith. And so it was like God's presence, like, was on us. We held hands, we prayed for this kid. And it was incredible. So then I called him and I said, hey, can I have his number? I'd really like to just restore whatever was stolen and remind him that he's God's son, that he's in his family. So I got his number and I called him later that day and I was able to PayPal him the money. And the kid was like, this is amazing. He was like, it was worth it. What was stolen was worth it just to hear your story, to be encouraged. And so it was really powerful. It was really cool. So again, my oldest said, Dad, I just believe God's going to do something really cool through this and amazing stories are going to come out of it. So our story, that story, and then my friend who is a missionary, he donated and I called him. They're about to go to the UK. And so they're in the middle of trying to raise support for that.
They have 4 kids.
And another on the way. And I was like, man, you didn't need to do that. And he was like, well, you know, I love you guys. And that was actually my last $200.
Like his account had 210 or 220, something like that. And they gave us 200.
And
like they gave us everything they had.
Wow.
So I was kind of blown away by that. And I prayed. I was like, well, I don't even know what to say about that. That's unbelievable. And thank you. And I love you. And I'd love to pray for you. And I just prayed that God would bless him 10x. I don't know why. I don't know. So he called me, I guess it was like a week later on Sunday night. He was like, you're not going to believe this. We went over to some of our supporters, people that have been with us for a long time and supported us. And they handed us an envelope with a big, thick envelope. And she said, be careful with that. There's $2,000 cash in there.
You said 10x. God said, all right, we'll calculate it. That is crazy.
Nah, come on. What?
Wow.
So.
And then he was even like, man, when you prayed that, I didn't have faith for it.
Yeah, he told me that he didn't think. He was like, it'd be cool, but no. And then it happened. So he was blown away. So he couldn't wait to call me and tell me about that. Going back on the video, we saw who went into our house. They worked on the back fence and we saw the whole thing on video.
Wait, the person who broke in worked on your back fence?
For about 30 minutes. And then they busted through and then they went through the sliding glass door and then they were in our house for about 5 hours. They broke into our house 45 minutes after we left. So the day we left, entire time we were on vacation, our stuff was gone.
And we had no idea. In and of itself, I feel like is a grace that God gave us, because had we known, we would have turned around and we would have missed the wedding. Mm. Instead, we had this really great trip and it was really great trip for our family.
So what the enemy intends for harm, God can use for good. And he's doing that and still doing that.
Well, and even last week, like his grandma blessed us with a car. She's 93. And she's decided it's not wise for her to drive anymore. So she decided that she wanted to give the car to Adam. And so Adam goes up to Des Moines, which is where she lives, to get the car. And we do marriage ministry every Wednesday night. So he was gone last week when I went and served. They were like, well, where's Adam? And I said, oh, he's picking up our new whip. They were like, well, wait, what? And I said, well, yeah, when our house got broken into, they stole the car too. Mm-hmm. And they were like, what? Oh my gosh. And they were all freaking out. And I was like, you know what? It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. God's been so good. He's just been so good and so kind. And honestly, like, we're glad it happened. We're glad it happened. It woke us up. We got to see God at work in so many ways. And if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't have gotten any of those amazing experiences with God and with his people. I mean, it's really more of a slap in the face for the enemy. I feel like it was a total victory for the Lord. So it's been
cool. It becomes foundational.
Yeah.
Stone of remembrance, mm-hmm. you know, like, what is it? They cross the Jordan and God tells them to set up these stones. And mm-hmm. so we have these markers in our life. And when you're pursuing him, often you come through these seasons and they become these stones of remembrance. And that story of just seeing his phone buzz and saying, my son, I'll never forget what God did through that. It'll give me confidence. Remember, God provided back then, restored, mm-hmm. redeemed. He'll do it again. And we learn lessons really well when it's really hard and hot and difficult. We're listening attentively in those moments. And I just think it's part of the deal. Yes. And I think sometimes we do ourselves a disservice because we think this crappy circumstance is my fault.
Mm.
It might be. But sometimes it's just doing ministry. It's just living in a broken world and things are not as they should be.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember so the first 45 minutes, we're kind of going through everything and we're figuring out what was taken. And I went outside and I remember you said, my laptop is gone. You know, all those stories that I've worked on, they're gone. Do you think this is a sign from the Lord that we're supposed to stop the ministry? And I said, no. No. This is not from the Lord. This is pure darkness. There is no light in this situation whatsoever. This is from the enemy and we're not stopping.
How are you able to discern that so quickly?
Ever since we started The Unseen Story, I've been listening to other podcasts, and there's a podcast in particular that I listen to. It's two best friends that just talk about the power of Holy Spirit and how Holy Spirit has changed their lives. It's called A Cup Full of Hope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really sweet. And so here's what's crazy, Adira, and you might want to reach out to either of these gals. They met because they're both expectant for babies. And one girl has been waiting for 9 years now.
Whoa.
Feels like the Lord has told her, you are going to have babies. And she feels very convicted that she's not supposed to try through any artificial means, that it's for her, it's not adoption. And then the other girl has struggled with infertility, but she and her husband felt very called to adopt. And so they adopted 3 babies. So then they have so many listeners listening in that are saying, is our infertility from God?
Mm.
How do we know that it's not from God? You know, how do we know that cancer, you know, they just do a really good job of explaining, like, you see Jesus, you see God.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see darkness in Jesus? Mm-hmm. Never. Did you see healing in Jesus? Yes. Did you see love and compassion in Jesus? Yes. Mm-hmm. So if your circumstances don't line up with what you saw in the personhood of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. then it's not from him. And one of the things I always talk about too is, like, we have to spend enough time with Jesus that we know him.
Yes.
We're not just reading about him. We're spending time with him. We're reading about him. We're having intimacy with him. I mean, he's invading our space. It is getting personal when we meet with him. It shifts everything. You know, when you know him on that level, then you can trust him. And you see the word in a light that isn't tainted by our trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, scripture says, like, my sheep recognize my voice. And I feel like it comes down to, like, you can't recognize his voice if you don't spend that time with him. How could you possibly? Because then it's like you start confusing his voice with the enemy's voice, your own flesh's voice, you know?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like the I mean, the theological framework here is really like, you see that the enemy tried it, as I like to say, like the enemy broke into your house and then the Lord used it for his good. It's like, it wasn't sent by the Lord, but he still made it his and made it work for him and his kingdom. That's awesome. Yeah.
And I think that if we look at other circumstances in life, that's the bigger picture that we'll see all the time, right? Like the stuff that we experience because we live in a fallen world or because, you know, this is the domain of the enemy. And we're here to remind other believers that we now have the authority on earth through our belief in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit within us to bring that kingdom that he died for back to earth. Amen. And it's just a matter of believers reminding the enemy of that truth mm-hmm. and walking in that, and then telling others who don't know him how good it could be here.
That's good.
Mm. Yeah, it's been fun. Sounds crazy, right? But it has been fun. And now we have an alarm and I feel really safe.
That's great. And insurance.
Yes.
And insurance. Yeah, now we're totally covered. We're grateful for you, Adira. Mm-hmm. Adira Polite.
Grateful for y'all too. Love you guys.
Grateful for you. We love you too.
Love you.